One of the perennial problems of thinking about God, thinking about life, thinking about death, is the question itself of death. Why is death among us? There is in the back of the mind of every human being that is I've ever spoken to, who's ever had even the slightest bit of self-reflection or consideration of life. And boy, let me tell you what, having teenagers, you hear this one a lot. There is a fundamental understanding that life is not fair. The life is not as it should be. I think we all have down deep, deep inside of us a feeling that the world is not as it should be. And it doesn't matter whether you're thinking about injustices done from one person to another person, either on a grand scale, like what we see in the Ukraine, or on an individual scale, maybe your relationship with a co-worker or a fellow student or a family member. Each and every one of us have some fundamental innate sense that this world is not as it should be. And that is because, well, this world is not as it should be. We can look at the world very easily and see that even in the best of places, in the best of circumstances, there is still a human element to everything we do that is imperfect, that does not do its best. And even in those circumstances and places where the absolute best is happening, where we're as happy as we can be, where there are no conflicts or problems or trials, there does reach a point at which it is inevitable that our own physical selves, our bodies, betray us. Unfortunate truth that seems to be more and more evident as every single year goes by, because those parts, well, they just go out of warranty. And boy, let me tell you what, when that engine light comes on for the human body, yeah, it's not fun. It happens for each and every one of us. We don't know exactly what was the nature of what was wrong with Lazarus. But today's story is so immensely human and intensely divine. We see Jesus at both his most human and his most godly. Because when Jesus is confronted with the death of Lazarus, it isn't as though this comes as a surprise to Jesus. He was well aware of what was going to happen. He said as much to his disciples. He had told his disciples, Lazarus has fallen asleep. He's gone. He's dead. Let us go to the family. So when Jesus arrives and Mary and Martha say, Our brother Lazarus, whom you loved, is gone. Jesus could very easily look at them and say, well, of course he is. I knew that. Why do you think I came? That's not his response. Jesus has that fundamental human response to death that each and every one of us have. That sense of loss, of mourning, of sadness, of sorrow, tells us in the scriptures that Jesus weeps. And I've mentioned before to you all, I'm sure, but if I've not, I'm going to say it again today. There's this wonderful phrase in Greek that we translate as saying that he was deeply moved. I love the actual Greek. It means his bowels were turned. We've all, at some point in our lives, had an experience of receiving a piece of news that was so tragic and so awful that you felt it internally. You felt that punch to the stomach that comes with that particular piece of information. That's literally what the Greek here means. His bowels were moved. His bowels were turned. He had that gut punch feeling. Is there anything more human in all the world than reacting to death with sorrow, misery, sadness? Jesus experienced all of these things. Because even though Christ was truly divine, he was also truly human. And like the rest of us, he experienced that sense of that ought to not be. That isn't right. That shouldn't be the case. Because we know that when humanity was created to sit in the Garden of Eden, we were created to be there eternally. We were built. We were designed. We were imagined and created to be creatures who did share in God's eternal nature. By virtue of leaving the Garden of Eden, by virtue of original sin, by virtue of coming into this world, we lost that status. We became mortal. Through sin, we became vulnerable to death. Now Jesus is responding to death as every human being does, with revulsion, with sorrow, with a deep sense of unfairness. He says, "Take me to Lazarus's tomb that I might see him." And they take him to the tomb, and he orders that the stone be rolled away from Lazarus's tomb. And Lazarus's sisters very practically say, "That seems like a terrible idea. He's been dead for days. Unquestionably, his tomb reeks and is full of not just bad smell, but to the Hebrew way of thinking, being in the presence of a dead body made you ritually unclean, made you unfit to be around other people until you had been ritually cleaned by a priest or a rabbi." And so they're looking out for Jesus' well-being. You don't want to go in there. You'll become unclean. Jesus orders the stone rolled away. And then he demonstrates just how truly divine he is. He speaks to the Father. And he speaks out loud. Not because he needs to. He says as much. He says, "I say this not because you need me to say it, but so that those who are around can hear me saying it to you, Father. Let the dead be alive." And he calls out, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus rises from the grave and he walks out dressed in his grave clothes, alive again. Death triumphed over by life is always the outcome of God's interaction with humanity. This is an important thing to remember about the story of Lazarus. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But you know what? Lazarus dies again. I mean, unless Lazarus is still alive and kicking somewhere in Israel, and none of us know about it, we can all fairly assume that at some point many years down the road, something else causes Lazarus to die. Old age or a heart attack or being run over by a chariot. Who knows? Lazarus dies. Easter is upon us. Just a few weeks from now. Easter is a reminder that Jesus Christ's ministry here on earth was for the sole and singular purpose of reunifying humanity with God the Father, putting us back to where we were supposed to be, returning us to the state that we should have been in before the Garden of Eden, giving us life, life abundant, life eternal. See, Lazarus did die again, but guess what? Lazarus was resurrected once more. Just as everyone who believes in Christ can rely in the certainty of the promise that as we believe in Christ, as we are baptized into his life, we are baptized into his death, we are baptized into his resurrection. We too will live again in God's kingdom. See, that was Jesus' final defeat over death. Bringing Lazarus back from the dead in this particular moment was a stopgap measure. It was spiritual equivalent of duct tape. Solved the problem for a little while, but problem was eventually going to come back. And I have great faith in the power of duct tape, but it's only going to get you so far. Jesus' resurrection of Lazarus only got Lazarus so far. But what Jesus accomplished on the cross, that was eternal. Lazarus was promised life everlasting, life abundant, life in the kingdom of the Father, life as it should have been when we return to be with our Father in heaven, just as humanity was created to be in the garden in the first place. We were returned to that state where things actually were not fair. Actually, it's really better to say we're returned to a state of absolute unfairness, because if we're being honest, fair is condemnation, because there is no human being who can stand before the throne of God and say, look at me, how I am perfect. Christ's death on the cross was anything but fair. It was the very antithesis of fair. And yet, Christ was willing to endure it, to give us the most unfair gift ever. Undeserved, unearned, unmerited forgiveness, absolute forgiveness, love, absolute love, and life, life eternal, absolute. As we find our way towards Easter, this motif is increasingly important, because this is what Christ's message is: life. Life with God, life abundant with one another, life eternal in heaven. This is what Christ showed forth in his raising of Lazarus, and will show forth more greatly yet as we approach Easter. We thank God and we praise God for this. Amen.